God bless you all. We give you all a very warm welcome in our service tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to turn to the Word of God tonight to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. And we appreciate the Word of God. We appreciate each one that's took the time to tune in to our live broadcast. Tell others about it. Spread the Word. And we do believe that the Lord will touch people. Many people are listening in, and we've estimated tonight that each service there's close to 200 people listening in between Facebook and our church website on each service. So we thank the Lord. And if you're listening in from a far land tonight, maybe Australia or New Zealand or the south of Ireland or Canada, America, Germany, Netherlands, wherever you're listening in from, we do give you a very warm welcome, and we say the Lord bless you tonight. We want to turn to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. And I want tonight to speak on the devil's defeat. Praise God. We used to sing a song, and Stephen Shelley, a pastor from America, used to sing it. This is the month of the Lord's triumph, and it is the month of the devil's defeat. And thank God Satan is defeated. And I want to bring you on a journey with me tonight through the Word of God to see how Jesus Christ conquered him. And because Jesus Christ is in you, you are more than a match for the devil according to the Word of God. 1 John then, chapter 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Also, if we could read Colossians 2, verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Praise God. Let us just bow for a word of prayer. And if you have a need tonight, just be reverent where you are and humble before the Lord. And believe God tonight till meet your need, whatever it is, in Jesus' precious name. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this privilege that we can come around the Word of God and the throne of God, for we may find help and grace in the time of need. Father, we would ask this evening that you would anoint your word to each one that would hear it tonight. We pray for thy great wisdom and thy great guidance. We ask you'll save every lost soul, restore the backslidden, heal those that need your healing touch tonight. Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit to help me, and I thank you that you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Well, the Lord bless each and every one tonight. Now, according to the script, these scriptures we've read in 1 John 3, 8, and also in Colossians 2, verse 15. According to these scriptures, Jesus has destroyed the works of the devil, spoiled his power, and triumphed over him. Since Satan's works have been destroyed, his power has been spoiled, and he has been triumphed over, he must be a defeated foe. Jesus' triumph was certainly our triumph. His victory was our victory. He did nothing for himself. He did it all for us, the church. Praise God. He defeated Satan for us. He spoiled his power for us. He destroyed his works for us. And he conquered the devil for me and you. Now I want for a moment to look at illegal possession. Illegal possession. Satan, who was defeated, holds his master, the church, which is the body of Jesus Christ, in bondage. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. And it says, we're baptized by one spirit into one body. So the true church, I'm not talking about a church round the corner here or there. There's believers in there. But I'm talking about the mystical body of Jesus Christ. You have to be born into it. You can't join it. You're born into it. And the true church of God conquers the devil, but the devil wants to try and hoodwink God's people with illegal possession and try and hold them in bondage. According to the New Testament, the church is given power and authority over an already conquered Satan. Can you afford to subject yourself to Satan's dominion any longer? Never. Arise from his bondage. Confess that you are the conqueror, then be sure to hold fast the confession of your faith without wavering. And over this last three Wednesdays, we have spoke a lot about the believer's confession. And you know that confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Hebrews 10 verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. And that word profession is the same as confession. Without wavering, for he is faithful that promised it. Maintain your confession of the word of God. Listen to these words, what F.F. Bosworth said, and it's remarkable. F.F. Bosworth's niece, you'll find her on YouTube, said her father was nothing special, and he didn't seek for any special gift, but she said that he walked with God every single day of his life. He was led by the Holy Spirit. He committed himself completely to the Spirit of God, and he saw over 1 million souls saved for the glory of God and won to the kingdom of God. And he saw many, many thousands healed by the power of God. F.F. Bosworth did. A wonderful servant of God. He has a book called Christ the Healer. A lot of what I study, I read his books. I really appreciate the stuff that God has left us from the great men of God that knew what it was to have the power of God. And we need to read men of faith to have faith. No point reading people's literature that don't believe in gifts and don't believe in the power of God. There's no point to read their information. You're wasting your time. It's like people that give a history on revival. And many give a history on revival, and even in this country, and they leave out all the supernatural in that history of the revival. But when you search the real church history, it is always accompanied by the power of God, by signs and wonders and divers miracles in and through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Always the supernatural accompanies every single genuine move of Almighty God. And I've already made this statement, and I'm going to make it again. The last 3 years of the ministry of Jesus, 80% of it was based on divine healing, and you know he only did the Father's will. So if we are to do what Jesus done, and we are to be like Jesus, we're not to be like anyone else, you know, every true servant of God will say, I point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus' ministry was based, 80% of it, on divine healing. Now here's what F.F. Bosworth says. Every believer can become a devil master overnight. This is some statement. When Jesus arose from the dead, he left and eternally defeated Satan behind him. Always think of Satan as eternally defeated foe. Think of Satan as one over whom Jesus and you in Jesus' name have entire dominion and authority. Now remember what a great man of God said. He said authority, and you can study it in the Bible. Authority is like the policeman. Think of this. A little policeman, should he be 5'6", can stand out in the road, and he puts his hand up, and a lorry that could weigh 30 ton must stop. When he puts his hand up, he has the authority invested in him to stop that vehicle. And God has given you and me authority over the devil according to the word of God. We have authority. Just like it doesn't go how big the policeman is. He could be the smallest policeman on the force. But yet when he steps out in his uniform, puts his hand up, the vehicle must stop. He has the authority to do it. And F.F. Bosworth said, we have authority to have entire dominion and authority over the devil. Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are certainly made new creatures in Christ Jesus. When you're born again, you are not a better version of what you were. But according to the Bible, you are a new creature when you're born again. Now, if you're listening to me tonight and you've never been born again, you can be born again. You can take Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, and call upon the name of the Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and confess it with your mouth, and you shall be saved, and you can be born again and be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 5:30 tells us, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now let me look further at this statement, the believer's authority. You can mark these down. Those that like to take notes, mark it down, take the scriptures. The believer's authority. Now I'm speaking to every true believer. Every true man and woman that's born again, that you have authority as a believer given to you by the name and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the basis of these scriptures, we have become what Christ is. We are in him. Look how Jesus confirmed this in his own words. We are in him. John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater, and we know that means more, than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. We now have authority to work the same works that Jesus worked by doing them in his name. Praise God. Now we know we're living still in apostolic age. Let me read you this little quotation from a message called Witnesses. Jesus Christ is in the building tonight to perform miracles, but he does it through his church, his people. They shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. In my name they shall cast out spirits. Is that right? The commissions given to the church, that's what's the matter with the church today. It doesn't know its position. If you know positionally who you are, and you was, and what you are tonight, there wouldn't be a feeble person in here in the next 5 minutes. That's right. The thing is off it, you're looking off into the millennium for something to happen when it's already here. Now we are the sons of God. Not we will be, we are right now. When? This night, right now, this minute. We're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now. Oh, if you'd only recognize that and the supreme authority that Jesus Christ has given to every believer. Anything you desire or need of anything you have to do is to ask and receive it. Whatsoever, quoting Mark 11:24, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive it, and it'll be given you. St. Mark 11:24. And that's true. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. Isn't that tremendous? We need to know who we are. We need to recognize who we are. Who are we? Take a moment. Let me take a moment. Who are we? You remember I preached a sermon called Say So. Say So. That's from the Psalms. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You are redeemed. Galatians 3:13. You are redeemed from the curse of the law. So every single curse in Deuteronomy 28, you're redeemed from every single one of them. Every plague, every disease. Jehovah Rapha, the seventh name of God. I am the Lord that healeth thee. You're the redeemed of the Lord tonight, and you should say so. You have the authority given you the believer's authority to say so. God has placed us in Christ, Ephesians 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. God sees us in Christ. Are you hearing me? God sees us in Christ. John 1, 16, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. These facts constitute our confession. We think, we speak, we pray, we act accordingly. To tell what Satan is doing in your life is to deny what you are in Christ. When you know that you are what Christ says you are, then you act accordingly, confessing what he has made you. This glorifies God and his word. What are you? You are the redeemed of the Lord. Some of us were fornicators. Some of us were adulterers. These are the words of Paul the Apostle in the New Testament. He names all the things that some of us were. But he says, now we are justified. Now we are sanctified. Now we're in Christ Jesus, praise God. We are no longer what we once were. We are in Christ Jesus. And when you confess, you're confessing what God has made you, confessing you're healed, confessing you're saved, confessing you're filled with the Holy Spirit, this glorifies God and his word. Mark 9:23, and Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. He meant that all things are possible to the believer. We believe in him, but who is he? Think of this. We believe in him, but who is he? What is he? If we are created in him, what does that mean? If it is in him we live and move and have a being, Acts 17:28 says that, then we must find out all about him. So the Christian doesn't need to find out about some organization or some man, but you need to find out about him. And he is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He should be your focus. He should be your study. He should be your theme. His word says, if I be lifted up, Jesus Christ, I will draw all men unto me. The Christ who lives in us. Now think of him. Who is he? The Christ who lives in us. Let me say this for a moment. The Old Testament was God above us. The New Testament was Jesus with us. He walked on the earth, God above us in the Old Testament, Jesus with us in the New Testament, and now it is the Lord in us because he said he would send the Holy Spirit in his name. One God in three offices, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, three offices of the one God, and this is a dispensation of grace, and this is most certainly the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in us tonight. He shall be in you, a living well springing up on the living waters in you. Greater is he that's in you. The Holy Spirit is in us tonight. The man at the right hand of God, who loved me and died for me, now lives in me. He was God's answer to the universal cry of humanity. God manifested in flesh, as Spurgeon says, the God-man. Jesus was not a philosopher seeking for truth. He was the truth. He was not a mystic. He was reality. He was not a reformer. He was a recreator. He was not a visionary. He was the light of the world. He never reasoned. He knew. He was never in a hurry. He was never afraid. He never showed weakness. He never hesitated. He was always ready. He was sure. There was sureness in all he said or he did. And he never ever changes his mind about his word. It is perfect the first time. He had no sense of sin or need of forgiveness. He never sought or needed advice. He knew why he came. He knew from whence he came. He knew who he was. He knew the Father. He knew about heaven. He knew where he was going. He knew humankind. He knew Satan. He had no lack. He had no limitation. And we are recreated in Christ Jesus. We're in Christ. We're members of him. Praise God. Born into the body of Christ. Baptized by one Spirit into one body. And Corinthians tells us. Jesus had no fear. He had no defeat. He did not shrink from pain or brutal treatment. He was a master when they arrested him. He was a master at his trial. He was almighty. Yet he was a man. And he is in us tonight, praise God. He was God, and yet he was a man. Because John 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is in Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, the church is not our life, no man is our life, but Jesus Christ, the man, he is our life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. He's coming again for his people. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him ye are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. So we know that Jesus Christ is in us tonight. We don't have to go up to bring him down. We don't have to go down to bring him up. But Paul said, the word is now thee, even in thy mouth that we preach. Praise God. These are Bible truths, Bible facts, what I've quoted you from the Word of God. When Christians begin to see their status in Christ and what God has made them to be in his Son, and then begin to speak that kind of confession instead of talking about weakness, talking about lack, talking about inability, and talking about sickness, they become an irresistible body of Christ. They can't be conquered. Remember, the Bible says that God will have a church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against that church. They will be against it, but the Word of God is clear. They cannot and will not prevail against the true church of God, because the true church knows who she is, the bride of Jesus Christ, bought by the precious blood, Galatians 3:13, redeemed from the curse of the law. They take their place as New Testament believers as they march forward in this glorious triumph of faith, understanding your relationship to God and your position as a believer recreated in Christ. You must remember that you are authorized to use his name. Are you hearing me? You are authorized. You've been given authority to use the name, permission to use the name. And remember what the Word of God says. There is no name like the name of Jesus Christ. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. I know and I believe there was power in the name of Jesus Christ over the devil and every demon. He has given us power. Satan is, as F.F. Bosworth says, eternally defeated foe. Amen. The name that controls Satan and his works, the name of Jesus. And that name has been legally given to every true believer to use it. Mark 16, verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues in my name. We've been given the name. I'm going to have to preach a sermon. Maybe next week I'll preach a sermon on the name. And I'll preach about the name, the use of the name, the power of the name. We have been given a name that's above every name. If you can cast out demons, then we can cast out demons brought about diseases. So if God has given us Mark 16, 17, power to cast out demons, then he has also given us power to cast out demon brought about diseases. Now you say, brother, where is our demon brought about diseases? Well, you know what Jesus taught us on the woman that had the spirit of infirmity on her for 18 years, and Jesus cast it out in Luke's gospel. So the spirit of infirmity was a demon. It was a spirit of infirmity, and Jesus cast it out. And he tells us in Mark 16, 17, we can cast out devils in his name, and we certainly can cast out demon, devil brought about diseases. Sickness does not belong to God's people. Health does. Because the word of God says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul doth prosper. Praise God. We must remember what God's servant F.F. Bosworth said, Satan is eternally defeated. And think of this, and says, think of this now, what some people say. They say the days of miracle is past. I want to read you just a wee quotation. They say the days of miracle is past. This is from a message called The Seed of Discrepancy. That's the seed of discrepancy when a man stands and says he's a minister, a pastor of a church of somewhere, and he does not believe that Jesus Christ is the same in every detail except the physical body. Same yesterday, Hebrews 13:8, today and forever. When he does not believe that, that is the seed of discrepancy. When he says that miracles on the apostolic age is past, that is the seed of discrepancy. When they say there's no such a thing as divine healing, that's the seed of discrepancy. And the world is full of it. It crowds out and chokes out the wheat. Now here's my question to you that are believers. Why is it that Christians that want to have the fullness of God, the fullness of the Word of God, and we are Pentecostals by experience, we believe we're living in apostolic days, and the apostolic age is still here, and I'm going to show you from a scripture that it'll be here till Jesus comes. Why is it that people want to run after stuff that deny the things we believe? They deny the nine gifts of the Spirit. They deny the fivefold ministry. They deny Mark 16. Then they say we preach the gospel, but they deny the Word of God. And here we see it is a seed of discrepancy when a man makes a statement and says these things are not for the day. That is a seed of discrepancy. That is not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will not and cannot deny his own word. People say, I have the Holy Spirit. If we have the Holy Spirit, we will believe every word of God and punctuate it with an amen. Can you say amen to that? Praise God. Here's my scripture. Now, let me say this. Many people say that the apostolic age finished with the 12 apostles. Have you ever heard that? Well, bless your heart, if the apostolic age finished with the 12 apostles, how is it that Paul the apostle, not one of the 12, after the 12, the Bible calls him the chiefest among the apostles. And a lot of your New Testament is written by Paul the Apostle. And it goes further. It says, special miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul. And Paul the Apostle is not one of the 12. He's after the 12. But yet he's an apostle. Now here's my scripture. Mark it in your Bible. Never forget this scripture. This is the word of the Lord. Acts 2 verse 39. Now let me quote you 38. Repent ye therefore and be baptized, every single one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we know that is eternal life. It's not just speaking in tongues. We believe in the gifts. But that's more than our gift. That is the gift of the Holy Spirit, eternal life. Now let's read verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Here's my question. You cannot come to God unless he called you. No man can come unto me except my Father draweth him. And no man can know me save to him whom the Son will reveal him. So we do not seek God. Go back to Genesis. You will see that God came in the garden. And what did he say after Adam and Eve fell? Adam, where are you? He had communion with God, but he lost it. God came in the cool of the evening, a type of the evening time, seeking for Adam. And he called him. And God is coming in the evening again, calling us today by the same voice and the same Holy Spirit that he did back then, the same God in the office or manifestation of the Holy Spirit. We believe that. So God calls every man, every woman that's going to be saved, God calls them. So therefore, if God calls them, Acts 2:29, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, the promise of the Holy Spirit is to all that God will call. Now how then can the apostolic age be ceased? I believe we need to preach the apostolic message. I believe we need to preach the fivefold ministry. Believe it, preach it, hold to it. Apostles, pastors, evangelists, prophets, evangelists, according to Ephesians, for the perfection of the saints. The nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, tongues, prophecy, miracles, working of miracles, divers tongues, interpretation of tongues, all nine gifts of Spirit and the fruit of Spirit. We need every single thing available to us that's given to the church and the Word of God. We need it more than ever in these evil days. And remember, Paul the Apostle said, covet earnestly the best gifts. I know a lot of people will quote, yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And then one group says the complete Bible and that's it, so we don't need the rest. But my dear friend, if you're claiming to preach what Paul preached, you have to have what Paul had. I believe the Word of God. I believe that we're to demonstrate the gospel. We're to preach it and we're to demonstrate it. And I believe Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe we are living still an apostolic death. I believe in what Amy Sapple McPherson said. And she was a wonderful woman of God. She was the woman that said the four-square gospel. A Savior, Healer, Baptizer in the Holy Ghost, and the soon coming King. I believe that with all my heart. And all the great men of God, and there's so many of them that the Lord has used, they believe that. And we must believe it. And if we're going to have faith, and if we're going to walk with people of faith, we need to separate from unbelief. We need to separate ourselves from unbelief. What fellowship is light with darkness? None at all. We need to separate from unbelief. We need a fellowship with like-minded. And we need to preach the full word of God. People say, well, they just preach the gospel. The gospel has healing in it. The gospel, Paul just preached the gospel. But he demonstrated it as well. And he said, the gospel is not a word only. I never came in word only, but in power and in demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That's the real gospel. We need to be praying for men that has a vision to do it. And we need to get behind them and pray for them. And we need to seek God for the power and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of God today like the first church had. I believe it tonight. I've told you and I've shown you that Satan is eternally defeated and Christ is in you and you have been given authority from the Word of God over an already defeated devil. I'm going to pray for you tonight. I'm going to come to close. I'm going to pray for you tonight. I want you to be reverent. I want you to be sincere. The Lord touched a dear man in Australia when I preached over Zoom to our brethren in Limerick, Pastor Keith Malcolm's fellowship, and it goes out to different parts of the world, and a brother in Australia was touched by the power of God. And I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. I don't have to prove nothing. God will honour his own word. He watches over Jeremiah. He watches over to perform it and to bring it to pass. Dear sister, dear brother that's listening in tonight, the Lord knows you and the word of God is clear. He is touched by the feeling of your infirmities. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on High. But the Holy Spirit is here in his name. And the Holy Spirit is in us tonight. He's in this room tonight. He's over these airwaves tonight to touch you and to make this word live and be real to you. I want you to believe God. Bow your heads wherever you are. If you're not saved, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, call upon the name of the Lord tonight. Repent of your sins. Acknowledge you're a sinner. Ask the Lord to forgive you and wash you in the blood of Jesus. And read Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. Read it, study it, do it, and you'll be saved. Let me pray for those that's in a physical need tonight. Look this way. Look steadfastly. The disciples said, look on us. Look on us. Isn't that something? When Peter and John came to the gate called Beautiful at the hour of prayer, there was a lame man there begging for alms, and they said, silver and gold have we none. The churches can't say that today. A lot of churches can't say, silver and gold have we none. And they can't say either, such as we have, give thee. But Peter and John could say it. They could say, such as we have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Bow your heads tonight. Look this way and believe God for whatever you have need of tonight. I'm going to pray for you. And I won't be talking nice to the devil, because I'm against him and God's against him. And you need to be against him. He's not for you. He wants to kill you. He wants to dominate you. But the word of God says, you shall live and not die. Life and death's in the power of the tongue. You shall live and not die. That's the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. We thank you tonight for the word of truth. Father, I come against the devil and every demonic force and every spirit of discrepancy and every foul spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke it of your people in Jesus' name. Touch that man, touch that woman, touch that boy, touch that girl in Jesus Christ's name tonight and heal them and deliver them for the glory of the Lord. Before I go, I want you to bring your children in. You parents, bring your children in. I know I do it. I make no apologies. I believe it works. I believe we can bless them. I believe we want to keep praying for the nurses, the doctors, everyone that's on the front line. All that's on the front line, we need to pray for them. Also remember the church in Arizona. 90% of the church, our sisters told us, down with COVID-19. Let's pray for a full recovery, that not a life will be lost, but the Lord will raise them up. Let us bow our heads again. Heavenly Father, I bless the children in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Cover them with your blood. Keep them safe from all the wiles of the enemy. We plead the blood of Jesus over them. We pray for all the nurses, all the doctors, for all the staff, for everyone on the front line. Keep them safe. Watch over them in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you for our brother Ron Peterson tonight and the whole fellowship in Arizona. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will raise every one of them up and you restore their health and strength in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Remember, we will be having live drive-in church Sunday morning, 11 a.m. at Bella Cross. The full details is on Omega Ministry Palm Bridge website. Live drive-in church, Bella Cross, Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. Come along, bring a friend, make an effort, bring unsaved. I'm preaching the gospel specifically at these meetings. Bring people along. The Lord can save them. But the sheep produce sheep. The sheep need to bring more to be sheep. Bring them along. Make an effort. Drive in. Rain, hail, or snow. We're meeting by God's grace. We're going to do it. Sunday evening, we'll be live again. 4:30 p.m. on Facebook, on our church web page. All the sermons are also on YouTube. Omega Ministry, Bonbridge. God bless you all. We, as a brother leads us out in a word of song tonight, I want to thank Brother Gary, Brother Edris, Brother Matthew for all their help for to do these messages. God bless you all. Pray for me. God bless you all. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. Savior has come. Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. The tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Above the vaulted sky, the Comforter has come. Comforter has come. The yes, Jesus. Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. From wherever let us find the Comforter has come. The has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. The tidings run, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come.